Wow, thank goodness the Falcons are playing better than our theme song, apparently. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome live to Blog Talk Radio for Falcons Zone. We're going to jump right into some Falcon stuff, but I can't do that without the King ATL and Reggie Walker, who's joining me right now. How you doing, Reggie?
Doing good, Jeremy. Doing good. Glad to be on.
Like I said, hopefully they are – I mean, I'm very happy to say the Falcons are playing a lot better than our theme song, apparently.
Right. Give it up.
I am not afraid at this point. I've silently went at Blog Talk a few times. Nothing personal, Blog Talk. I appreciate your services and everything, but this is 2 days in a row you're trying to sabotage my show. So we're going to have a silent chat once this show's off. But we're going to go on more positive things, right?
Absolutely.
Go to more positive things. Like, in fact, I'm even going to not even let that song play in the background because I can still hear it. let's start. We're going to start with the Falcons portion of Falcon Zone because I feel like we neglect it every week because it's kind of stuck on the end. So, I mean, like I said to you, I was going to give you the platform this week because you weren't on last week, and there have been, you know, two amazingly huge wins. The Falcons seem to be rolling. They're now 4-1. You know, let's talk a little bit about that win over Denver.
Yeah, I got to catch it on the broadcast. As you know, I had some other commitment, so I wasn't able to watch the game live. Well, at least not the first half. I watched about the last quarter and a half. Excuse me. But what I saw was what I've seen all year, or at least since the Tampa game. And actually, you saw it in the Tampa game, but you're just seeing more of it, and it's more consistent.
Right.
They are dialed in. I mean, it's scary to watch a team with a ton of confidence. I think this week's game, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but this week's game is probably going to be the most pivotal one, I think, of the season for these guys, that in the first game after the bye. But that being said, what I'm seeing is consistency. I'm seeing a team that gets on the field and expects to score, and they expect to execute. And they expect to, you know, the expectation level is very different. It's not a surprise for them, and they don't seem to care who they're playing. They're going to execute, and that's a scary team. I mean, Matt Ryan has a look in his eye that I've not seen since his first year, and even then, you know, he had some deer in the headlight moments. He's not seeming to have any of those this year, and I think it starts with that center. That great center that we picked up in the free agency, one Alex Mack. I think it starts there, man. I got to say that was our best free agent acquisition in a long time.
Oh, absolutely. If for anybody who didn't think Alex Mack was a Pro Bowl almost once in a generation style center, how about the fact you take him off one team who has went through four quarterbacks in 5 weeks, you put him on the other who has the number one offense in the league?
Absolutely, and you know what? And I'd be remiss to not give props to the defense. This is what we were talking about. I think in some earlier shows if the offense can give the defense time enough to grow and mature and gel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matt's kind of had a couple of years. This is year two in the offense, year two with the same, pretty much the same receiving, you know, same core of guys.
Mm-hmm.
There are some additions and subtractions. But that being said, they're giving the defense confidence and they're giving them the ability to pin their ears back. They know that, hey, if we give away one or two, who cares? Our offense has the ability to come in and take over the game. They have the ability to bring us back. And when Atlanta's jumping up, you know, 14, 17 points, and now the defense can kind of gamble a little bit, and you know, Richard Smith can do some different things, and linebackers can be more aggressive, and so forth and so on. I think that's proven to be the difference here. So I was glad to see Vic Beasley kind of coming to his own. He played a monster game, albeit, you know. The pundits will say, oh, the rookie quarterback. And, oh, guess what, guys? These people play in the NFL. They are the best of the best of the best, regardless of who they are. And you can't take that from them. he did it. And like I said, next week or this week's coming game, I think is going to be where the rubber meets the road.
Absolutely. The weird thing is, especially since I report on both teams, I felt like Georgia State in picking up their first win this year actually had kind of a Atlanta Falcons moment as to suddenly everything clicked. I felt like their quarterback kind of had a Matt Ryan, you know, suddenly you flip the light switch and go, oh, this is what you wanted me to do. You had a big-time rusher. They McKendy Cheridor for Georgia State had 2.5 sacks on his own. Vic Beasley had 3.5. You had a couple, you know, Freeney had one, Jarrett had one. Give a half a sack to Claiborne, I believe. But let me read off some stats real quick, and you tell me which of these two players you think is your guy, Matt Ryan. 15 for 28 for 267 and a touchdown. 23 for 35, 223 and a touchdown.
I think it's the second, 223 and a touchdown.
Nope, that would actually be Paxton Lynch, the guy who lost that game, who actually,
oh, wow.
I'll give Paxton Lynch credit. Paxton Lynch looked pretty decent for somebody who came in probably five games faster than they wanted him to. Lynch can be a decent quarterback. Him and Simeon are going to have to really battle it out. But, yeah, Matt Ryan, 15 for 28, 267, and a touchdown. And he actually rushed for 3 yards, which is actually down from his normal totals.
Right.
But you had Freeman with 88 coming out of the backfield. It's Tevin Coleman, who, you know, thanks ESPN, every other analyst on NFL Network, anybody whatsoever who told me, well, Tevin Coleman's got this sickle cell condition where he may not play and be very effective in Denver. So I sat him on the bench in fantasy. Thank you very much. I lost by about 5 points.
Well, I mean, you know, it's hit or miss, right? I mean,
right,
you
right.
never really know. I think there's becoming some consistencies here. I think Atlanta's got a dilemma that they love, right? And you never know which running back is gonna have that breakout game. They both are very capable guys. They seem to be gelling well, at least in the public view. They seem to be okay with their roles because I think they're both getting a piece of the pie.
Sure.
And that's
they're winning.
Key. Right, even Julio, who you know, you go from 300 yards receiving to what did he have? 20 yards, I guess, 30 yards.
29.
Right. So I mean, but if the language in the locker room is guys, we're 4-1, right?
Right.
Who cares whose day it is this day, right?
Right.
And Matt doesn't get to a point where he starts forcing the rock to, you know, forcing the football to Julio or forcing the ball to Freeman or whatever, right? As long as they maintain their plan of attack, Atlanta is going to be, and barring injury, Atlanta could very well take this to a Lombardi. I can honestly say that. This is just a very different team than I've seen in quite some time.
Well, I said, let's see, you guys weren't on last week. That may have been when I said it. I said that, to me, Atlanta is one of the four teams that you're going to have to go through Atlanta or Seattle or Minnesota. Can't quite remember the other one off the top of my head. But you're going to have to go through one of those four teams to make it to a Super Bowl. And those are, I mean, literally, it doesn't matter to me what order they finish in. It really is going to depend on who gets the home field advantage, because if it's in the Georgia Dome, I think you got to go with the Falcons over those teams. If it's up in the new stadium in Minnesota, I think you got to go with them. And, you know, we're going to find out this week if they can win up in Seattle. And if they can prove that, then maybe home field advantage won't work for Seattle.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's, you know, Seattle's always going to be one of those tough teams to beat.
Sure.
Minnesota, I'm not sold on yet. I keep waiting for somebody to, you know, are we being punked or whatever? And maybe because it's just so unusual that they would lose their starting quarterback and their starting running back and be 5-0, right? And, I mean, so I'm still in a wait and see mode with Minnesota. I'm not saying they're a bad team because their defense is playing lights out. I'm just not quite convinced just yet, as even some cases with Atlanta. I mean, let's see after we get out of the break right? Let's see what happens then, right? But I think Sunday's game, and I was telling another friend of mine, I go, listen, you know, whether we lose this game or not is irrelevant for me. For me, I want to see the effort. If this is a 23-24 loss or a 24-27 loss or 31-24 loss or something close, right, and if there's the effort, I'll be satisfied. I mean, and there's no moral victories, but just to see these guys compete and make Seattle work for it, I think that's what I'm looking to see overall.
Right, and we're actually getting real time updates and on the text line and such. A listener of ours actually said you're very knowledgeable, Reggie. So hey, you know, we're not only winning awards, but we're winning over the fans apparently.
Hey, that's a good thing. I try. Don't bet any games on me though.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You're still leading the picks we have. So. But I remember the other team. It's Philadelphia, who had a little hiccup, but man, I like the way they're playing right now. And all four of those teams, the main thing they have in common, with that being Seattle, Atlanta, Minnesota, and Philadelphia, they all have strong, aggressive defenses. The offenses are there, sometimes big, sometimes not. But clearly, in this day and age in the NFL, that defense is going to get you there. Your offense may have to win it once you're there.
Yeah, and with Atlanta, Atlanta's probably a little bit of an anomaly. This is the Atlanta team that, unfortunately, we've been kind of relying on for the past many years. I mean, even when Atlanta made their run to the NFC Championship, losing to the 49ers, the premise was, hey, our defense isn't quite there, but we've got an offense that can score lights out, right? And it didn't quite fare that way. But this time around, again, it's different. If you got a team that's capable of putting 40 up on anybody at any given moment, And so it's got to take the pressure off the defense, and those guys can really start to come into their own a little bit more because they don't have the pressure of feeling like, man, it's going to fall on our shoulders this week. Now, if Atlanta can – if the defense can ever match up to be able to withstand that as they did with Denver. I mean, because Denver, whether it was Paxton Lynch or whether it was Simeon, I mean, they put together a pretty nice – you know, game plan against, they stopped C.J. Anderson. I mean, Sanders didn't do anything. I mean, so they did their job, right? They completely handled their offensive line. And again, Seattle is the test, though. That's the test. That's the one. If Atlanta wins that game, then, you know, all of the naysayers will have to kind of go away and hide at this point. I mean, it's because you will have now beaten both Super Bowl teams and Seattle in their house, right? I think I read something today where they've only lost 5 games at home since Russell Wilson's been the quarterback. I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? So we'll see.
Absolutely. And you know, we'll get into that game here in a second. Did want to hit on, let's see, the cool thing I thought, and I know Dan Quinn has connections up in Seattle because obviously he came from Pete Carroll's staff. He was the DC there. But they were able to – they actually went with Russell Wilson and visited a couple local hospitals up in the Seattle area. And this is the Falcons I'm talking about. And they also went to the local military base up there. And they said the line was around the corner just to meet the Falcons. There's that much Falcons presence up there.
Yeah, I've actually heard that. I'll be taking a trip up to that game this weekend, leaving out on Saturday, and I've actually connected with a bunch of guys up in that area that are Falcons fans. Yeah. So I've been invited to some tailgates and all those things. I thought maybe, hey, you know, I'm gonna be truly in Seahawk country, which I will be. I was told I happened to sit next to one of the coach's wives at the Dome, and she came from Seattle with Dan Quinn, and she tells me, she goes, Reggie, you need earplugs and earmuffs when you go to that stadium. So I've been forewarned. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, man. It's one of the stadiums, as you guys know, or you know, my bucket list item is to go to a Falcon game at every stadium, and this will be number 26 for me out of the 31. Wow. So I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for you. And, hey, yeah, so, you know what? As of this time next year, you'll have a 30-second one to check out.
Right. And somebody asked me that. They go, listen, man. Well, probably Vegas, right? But somebody goes, listen, what? So, you know, your list will never truly be over. And I didn't think about that. It's like, hey, every time a team builds a new stadium, you've got to go back to that stadium. I go, you know
right?
what? I didn't think about that.
And based off of when the Falcons play them, you may have to wait, you know, 2, 3, 4 years before you can get a chance to go.
Yeah, any AFC team specifically that falls in line, it's actually 8 years, you know, 6 to 8 years before we play them, because – in four years, it's in Atlanta, and then the next time it's in their home. So New England is going to fall in place for me next year. We play them. They're on the schedule as an away game next year, and I've had to wait 6 years for those guys. So I've not been there. So that's going to be another one like a Lambeau, right? That you know you just got to have on your list.
Yeah, I agree there. You know, it's like you said, it's a never ending thing. It's like buying a house. Or a car, or you know, just your body in general. Or and this is as far as I'll go into it, and you'll know exactly why I'm saying that. It's just like 33. It's a great milestone, but
right.
It's never the end,
right?
Right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
There's always more
absolutely.
After you get there. Congratulations
absolutely.
Again, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Like I said, for a lot of different reasons, that's as far as I'll go into that. And for the people that do get it, good for you. If not, you're just going to have to dig into it.
Right.
But let's see, what else are we going to get to while we were talking there? Previewing this game against Seattle. I mean, we'll talk about the division. But previewing this game against Seattle, I mean, when you talk about the way our defense is, this quick, aggressive defense, that's Dan Quinn's scheme altogether. And you can know the scheme all up and down. You can look at who the key players are. But until you get out there on that field, you're never going to know how Grady Jarrett reacts in real time to something. You can look at a film all day long, but he can do the opposite when he gets there.
Right, right. I mean, it's all game speed, or what they call game speed.
Yeah.
I think it's not quite offensively the same team that I was afraid of last year.
Right.
They don't have Marshawn Lynch. I mean, they don't really have two dominant receivers. Well, I guess they really do now because Jimmy Graham.
They do
back.
Now. Well,
and
actually, he would be number three.
Right.
They got the rookie guy that emerged. Our stat guy is not paying attention. He's watching Monster Jam or something. Let me try to look this up while we're talking. Who's the main guy they got? Richardson or something? No, that's Richard Sherman. Who am I thinking of?
I can see his face, but I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, I can't either.
Oh,
it's a big tall guy.
Right.
He is
made a phenomenal right one-handed catch not too long ago.
Yeah, he's starting to make them a lot more because, I mean, Russell Wilson, I'll give it to him. He's a good quarterback.
Right. So, I mean, but Jimmy Graham always, while you're looking it up, Jimmy Graham always, you know, creates a nightmare for Atlanta. He did when he was with New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson also adds that running ability, right? You're going to have to be disciplined. This is going to really show the discipline of the team. I think the good thing about it, possibly, is that the weather is supposed to be kind of breezy and rainy. So that might slow down the passing game on both sides, right? And this
right.
might get to become, you know, more of a running game, for which that's got to favor Atlanta, right? I mean, you just
sure.
it's, in that case, you got a two-headed monster. So it could end up being a very low-scoring game, defensive, or it can end up being a shootout, right?
Right.
And it's going to come down to turnovers. Who makes the first turn? You know, ball gets slippery and it gets wet and that crowd gets loud. And, you know, there's so many factors that these guys are going to have to play against up here. But they've been able to drown out the noise. It's been amazing to watch. And that was the one thing that I noticed even in Denver. They never seem rattled by the crowd, right?
Right.
New Orleans, they were never rattled by the crowd. Oakland, it was very business-like. Like, this is a business deal. This is a business trip, guys. And whatever Dan Quinn's teaching in that locker room, those guys are believing it. I mean, this whole brotherhood march, man, these guys are loving it, and they're playing for each other. And anytime you can transcend the coaching staff in that way, they're going to be a tough team to beat. And one of the things, too, Jeremy, that I think is important to note, Atlanta was playing without four of their starting linebackers.
Right.
Obviously, my man, Sean Weatherspoon, you know, is out for the year, and possibly that could be career-ending for him. I mean, he's had so many injuries. That's tough on him. But, you know, you're without your two studs in Campbell and Jones, and Worlow's mm-hmm. been hurt since the beginning of the year. And, you know, it's plug and play. You know, they brought in another rookie and Brooks Reed and some other guys, and they even moved Ishmael down to linebacker.
And
now
that other guy they brought in, AJ Hawk.
Yeah, AJ Hawk. Well, yeah, and all he did was play special teams in this particular game. But you're getting into the Belichick way of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Coach
right.
Hill talks about this a lot. When you just bring football players in, guys that can play regardless of wherever you put them, and Neil's starting to show up a little bit and show why he was the number one pick. I'm still not happy with Horford. I like to call him Horford for some. Alford. I'm not satisfied with his play right now. I think I read something while I was watching the game, and they're saying he's like one of the most penalized cornerbacks, you know, in the league over the past couple of years. And so they're going to have to do something a little different, I think, in the offseason with him. I'm just not convinced with him right now, but he's serviceable, right?
Right.
But he's a loose cannon, man. He's getting, you know, penalties, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct penalties and unnecessary pass interference penalties. And John Lynch, who is one of the guys I respect, especially from a secondary perspective and as a player, he said,
right.
you know what, the kid's fast. He just doesn't trust his speed. And,
yeah.
you know.
Exactly.
Much like Hageman, at some point, you know, it's got to be over. You know, you've been
yeah.
trying, you know, hey, he's going to continue to have too fun out there on the island, and that's not going to be good.
Hey, on that quick note, you know, Atlanta, for some goofy reason, you don't like to look at people in your own state, but let me just say, this McKenzie Terador kid is a monster. I'm just
oh, yeah.
saying, you need to check him out at Georgia State. The kid, he's a super good kid, very laid back. You won't have to worry about him. He's already living in Atlanta, so he won't have to move. You won't have to worry about a transit thing. Just throwing that out there. I could throw a handful of guys out they could use. But, no, the guy I was thinking of earlier, the guy that's emerged for them, is Paul Richardson, I believe, who is the rookie. But
okay.
Doug Baldwin is their number one.
Doug Baldwin. That's the guy.
Yep.
That's I was thinking
he is,
about. Because he was – he was a number three for a long time.
Yes.
When they had some of the other guys there before. And, yes, he has definitely – he started emerging last year as kind of
right.
their number one. And he has absolutely played lights out. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't think of his name. But, yeah, Doug Baldwin.
Yep, Doug Baldwin. He's just one of those guys, like you said, that all of a sudden you look up and he's the one on the highlights and you went, who's that guy? And he's been here the whole time.
Right, So Alfred's going to have to play. I mean, this is really going to, again, test the defense because, you know, Russell Wilson has the ability to extend the pocket, and it allows these guys to get open. And I don't think they've really seen that because Cam Newton can extend the pocket, but he doesn't really have the receiving core outside of Benjamin and Olsen.
Right.
So I'm thinking, well, yeah. I guess Jameis Winston, same thing, right? So here's
right.
another one of those guys that you're going to continue to see. You got Aaron Rodgers you got to see a little bit later on down the line. You know, you're going to see these types of mobile guys that can extend those plays, and we're going to have to keep this pass rush going and collapsing this pocket. And our cornerbacks and linebackers are going to have to be able to cover these tight ends, man. I mean, Jimmy Graham can have a 200-yard easy receiving game. He's done it before just about on us. So it'll be a good test, man. I think this is a good, solid test at the right time. And hopefully, you know, we fare well. I think we'll do okay, though. I'm actually picking them for the upset, seriously. because I just like what I see. I like the look that I see in these guys' eyes. It's very different than I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree on that. And just because, like I said a couple weeks ago, we're going to try to do this every week, if nothing else, just one-liners. Looking around this division, I really think after watching that game the other night between Carolina and Tampa Bay, I put a message out. I can't remember if it's Facebook. I think it's Facebook. I said, if the Saints are watching this game, they have to realize they're the second-best team in the division because Carolina and Tampa Bay were, like, trying to figure out the less smelly turd, basically. How many times can we almost get a point without actually getting a point?
Yeah, it's – you know what? Tampa – well, I guess both of them in some regards, but the collapse in Carolina is probably more surprising for me.
Which, I mean, if you look at last year, a lot of people are like, well, they were 15-1. Well, they made it all the way to the Super Bowl. If you look, most of it, they won the games they were supposed to, those kinds of games. But then at the same time, those 50-50 games that happen every year, they happened to win all those. They got all the luck all at one time so that when it happened this year, we realized last year's team and this year's team is basically a shell, and that shell had a chink in the armor and started collapsing. So we're seeing a lot more of the faults, the same way we did in Atlanta a couple years ago, the last year Mike Smith was here. We suddenly figured out this team ain't quite what we thought it was. It has a lot of things they got to overcome.
Yeah, but, I mean, Atlanta you kind of knew was, you know, offensively was probably more, you know, offensive line wasn't holding up. I mean, we knew last year that the center was the problem with Atlanta. And maybe some of Matt Ryan's confidence on offense. Defense, they've never had a pass rush. I don't think we've had a pass rush, honestly, since John Abraham and before that, you know, my man Chuck Smith and Patrick Kearney and those guys. But that being said, you've always known what their issues were. Carolina, I always just thought that their defense was always going to be what it was. Mm-hmm. And Kelvin Benjamin coming back, I figured, you know, Greg Olsen shredded the lead in half, and they even made Ted Ginn look good last year. Kelvin Benjamin coming back, you just thought, you know, I was never really sold on Jonathan Stewart. I didn't think he was the right pick of the two between D'Angelo Williams and him. But, you know, and Cam Newton. I mean, but to see this offensive line collapse the way that they have and the shots he's been taking and, you know, even the defense just getting run over. I mean, Josh Norman really meant that much to this team. And there's the psyche, right? That's the psyche. You know, it's much like Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and those guys. System guys, you know, they often say they're system guys. But guess what? Those guys mean something because they accredit, you know, you could be accredited or the attitude of the team can be accredited to these players. That's why Sean Weatherspoon, and I've reached out to him behind some back channels just to say, hey, man, after your operation and you get going, stay around. We need you. We need your presence on the sideline because those guys were feeding off of him. So, Carolina, man, I can't put my finger on it. I thought Tampa would turn the corner, but I knew that, you know, getting rid of Lovie Smith was going to be the death of them because we've had the same coaching staff here in Atlanta. I mean, we know what they're getting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Carolina, I couldn't understand that. They're perplexing. They are very perplexing right now.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And basically to wrap up the NFC South form here, Tampa's on a bye week. Who do you have in the game, New Orleans, Carolina?
It's in New Orleans, right?
It is.
I think New Orleans wins that. I think Cam isn't quite back. Right,
no.
I think they're rushing him back just because of the debacle last week. And I just think New Orleans is starting to figure it out a little bit, right?
Right.
I think, you know, they piled a couple of wins on here, and they're at home. I think New Orleans takes that game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree for the same things you said. I mean, I think New Orleans figured out who they are and what they can do about it, and Carolina still hasn't figured out. They just know that the ship is sinking. They don't quite know where the hole is, and they're not even bailing water at this point. And Tampa Bay is going to hang around long enough to, you know, start. I mean, they're in the process of rebuilding as well, and they got some good pieces down there. I definitely like quarterback, wide receivers, those kinds of things. Their defense can make plays. So, I mean, it's kind of – if we – our preseason, like, analysis of this whole thing, if we would have swapped Carolina for Atlanta, I think our projections are almost dead on.
Right, right, right. And, you know, again, I've had to apologize several times because given the schedule and just what I saw in preseason – you know, I didn't think that we would be seeing this level of success like this. I just didn't expect to see Atlanta dominate. And that's what they're doing right now. I mean, nobody can figure them out. And it all comes back to Matt Ryan not keying on Julio Jones, right?
Right.
He's going to everybody. I mean, you don't know who to stop. And that's going to always cause problems. And eventually they're going to have to drop the double teams, and then there go Julio again with another 300-yard game. I mean, it's you know, pick your poison with those guys. And it gives the defense time to make mistakes. It gives them the room to make mistakes and to grow. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be interesting because as the year goes on, the defense is going to get better. I mean, they're going to figure it out. And Lord forbid if it clicks. Right, Dwight Freeney was a big sign for us as well because you can see all the work he's done with Beasley since he's been there. You saw it materialize in this Denver game. I mean, it's starting to really click now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to quickly go through this next thing because I have a couple issues with it. It's the NFL power rankings from ESPN. Did you have a chance to look at it?
Yeah, I did. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised. Those guys are clueless. Sorry.
I mean, and we're not going to go through all 32. We're going to – it's mainly has to do with the top 10 or so. That just, and I'm not going to go team by team just for the most part. I mean, you got Vikings as number one. They are the only undefeated team left. So, hey, they're playing pretty solid, both sides of the ball. I don't have a problem there. New England, two. Once again, those could be interchangeable, honestly. You could actually put Pittsburgh up in there. They're number three. You know, actually, I would say Atlanta would probably be four if Pittsburgh is three, because the only offense better than Pittsburgh right now is Atlanta. But then you get to number four, who are the Denver Broncos. And I'm like, no, I don't see that. They got Seattle at five. Well, Seattle started soft, and they just have put it together now. It's just,
right.
They still got the Bengals in the top 10. They still got Arizona in the top 10. Arizona shouldn't even be in the top 20 right now. They're awful.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And even the Bengals, I mean, the way that Dallas, and talk about a team that's got some decisions to make, the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, I've read somewhere where Tony Romo, you know, his MRI was clean, and they're talking about bringing him back week eight. But, I mean, and Jeremy, put yourself as a coach, or even Jerry Jones, you can't possibly justify bringing Romo back at this point. The way Dak Prescott is playing. I mean, I know you have to play the money. I get that, right? Even though San Francisco is just now starting to do it with now they've announced that Kaepernick is going to be starting on Sunday. But, you know, these guys are on a roll. And I'm just wondering, man, if that's not going to be the death of them trying to force fit Romo back into this. But that being said, the way they put a butt whipping on Cincinnati, I just don't see it.
No.
I don't see it. I don't see them in the top 20 at all myself, you know. Defensively, they look horrible. Their running game is horrible. Other than A.J. Green, nobody else is really playing. I mean, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And Philadelphia is not in the top five or top six. Come on.
No, they're number 11. They're under Arizona. That's And they got the Raiders under them. They got Philadelphia 11. Oakland 12 and Carolina 13, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to throw something.
At least the Raiders and Philadelphia should be top 10, if not top
Absolutely.
Five. I mean, come on.
I mean, they should be taking the place of the Bengals and the Cardinals. Now, Coach isn't here to defend Green Bay. They got them as number 9. Hey, Green Bay's hanging around the top 10. I absolutely think they're a top 10 team. I have no problem there. But, I mean, it's just – I mean, it's ESPN wanting ratings and ESPN wanting us to argue like we're doing right now and mention them. So from this, you know, from further on through here, they're the four-letter network for the rest of the show because I'm not giving them any more press. But, I mean, this is just – I mean, it's just ridiculous because, I mean, they have a lot of them, right, when you get on further down, say in Cleveland's at the tail end, 49ers, Jacksonville, Miami, Chicago, the Jets, the Titans. The Saints shouldn't be 25th. They're a little higher than that. The Buccaneers are hanging around. Some of those I understand. They're competing over who's going to draft the next quarterback. It happens. But you got to at least get your top five right, if not your top ten. And I don't think they're about 60%.
I mean, it's about picking unbiasedly, right? I mean, even
right.
Some of the picks I've been tweeting those guys from the NFL Network over the last couple of weeks, and I'm telling them, guys, keep picking against Atlanta, because every
yeah.
time you pick against them, we win. Pick against them again, and sure enough, you know, the picks came out for ESPN. I think Merrill Hodge picked Atlanta to win, and everybody else picked Seattle. I mean, and even in a game like that, I didn't expect to see Atlanta across the board, but I don't expect
right.
to see Seattle across the board either. You expect to see kind of a mix. And that's what happens, man. You get these teams that have been the media darlings for however long, and all of them don't deserve it, short of New England. I mean, nobody
yep.
can really say anything about New England. They have proven themselves year in and year out, and there's really nothing you can say when they're top two or three, because they're where they belong. They're where they've been for a long time. So it is what it is. So Atlanta's not the sexy pick, and that's fine, because I think that's what fuels that locker room as well. Is that they know that they are not respected, even if teams come out and say it. But you've got to respect that scoreboard, baby, and that's all I care about. Now I'm sure that's all they care about now.
Now I know you said you didn't expect there to be Atlanta across the board on those picks. Do you expect Atlanta to be across the board in our picks?
No, I do not.
Well,
go ahead. No, I was going to say, I know that my host likes to sometimes buck the system a little bit just to keep it interesting, if nothing else. Now, maybe in his heart, Impact might think that the Falcons will win, right? But just to keep it interesting, he'll always go against the grain. That's just my host.
It's funny because it's true. It absolutely is true, Homer. But
right.
You know, what a good segue to go straight into our picks right now. Now, to update for everybody who is playing along at home, I'll give you a second to get out your dry erase board and game boards that you ordered from some fictitious website we haven't created yet. I am bringing up the rear at 9-11 because I went 2-2 last week. Coach went 2-2. That makes him 11-9, and you are leading at 13-7 with a 3-1 record last week. So start to distance
yourself
a little bit.
Yes, sir. But it's still early, like Matt said. It's still early. It's just the first quarter of the season. So I just got to keep the pedal to the metal on you guys, because Coach has a way of coming back. He's like the cardiac Raiders, man. You think the game is over, and here he comes scoring two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Well, based off the games that we're picking this week, there's an obvious choice for him the way there's an obvious choice for you every week. But he surprised me with one of his picks. So without further
okay.
ado, let's start. Let's go the one that we absolutely know where Coach sides on this. We know how much of a Romo homer he is, but he is actually picking Green Bay to beat the Dallas Cowboys. Who do you have in that?
Is that in Dallas or Green Bay?
That is in Green Bay.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That
that's
makes it more of a coin.
Dallas is playing very well right now, but I gotta go Green Bay. I gotta go Green Bay. They're at home. I mean, it's hard to beat those guys up there, and it's starting to click for them. So very narrowly, I'm gonna go Green Bay.
Well, like I said, so did Coach in what was probably one of the least surprising moves of the entire pick'em season,
right.
Obviously. But I got the Dallas Cowboys in this, and I took out my fan bias because they are one of my teams. But it's what you said. If you look at, you know, let's say who has the better offense. Well, who is scoring the most points right now is the Dallas Cowboys. Who's more fluid typically? That's Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, ever since I called Aaron out, apparently he's been balling out. So you're welcome, Green Bay fans, and thanks, Aaron, for listening. But I don't know. I feel like Dallas' defense can actually stop Green Bay's offense, and I'm not sure which 11 guys Green Bay's going to use on defense and if they can stop everybody, even without Dez Bryant. So I feel like Big Zeke's going to have a big 120-yard game. maybe two touchdowns or at least one. And I feel like Dak is going to actually have a couple touchdowns, which is something he hasn't really done this year.
Yeah, I think that's a smart pick. I mean, you know, you can go either or. I want to lean towards Dallas, but Green Bay at home is tough. So you might come out on top on this one.
I mean, that's, you know, the hotter team is Dallas, but they are playing in Green Bay. It made this matchup so much juicier.
Yes, it did. Great game to pick. Great game to pick.
Let's go next to the Kansas City Chiefs, who will be traveling to the West Coast to play the Oakland Raiders. Who do you have in that one?
I'm taking Oakland in that game. The Chiefs don't look that well. They don't look good at all to me either. They're one of those teams that are kind of surprising to me. I thought I'd see better, but they definitely don't look as well as what Oakland is playing right now. So, Oakland Raiders.
It's funny because it's true.
Yep, me and Coach agree with you. And it's just Oakland, Jack Del Rio is too good of a coach to have them slide so much. That's why they have started to turn it around. They've started to put things together. They realize that Amari Cooper does still play for them, and I appreciate that, Derek Carr, more than you will ever know. But they have a lot of the pieces that are finally clicking. They just had to get them in the right places. And I think Oakland's going to probably roll this game, actually. As much as – I mean, Andy Reid and everything he's done in Kansas City has been spectacular. He is arguably the Mark Rick of the NFL. He can win you a lot of games and get you to a playoff. Just I don't know if he can get you over that hump to go any further.
Right. Absolutely. Great analogy. I agree.
And that's no shot at Mark Rick because, I mean, I like the crap out of the guy, and I hated that they got rid of him, but – he couldn't beat Nick Saban, so he went to the ACC, and he'll make Miami great again.
Right, absolutely.
Next game, we got the Philadelphia Eagles fresh off the bye in Washington to take on the Daniel Snyders.
Yeah, Philadelphia. I'm not, again, Washington's one of those teams. I think they're fool's gold right now. Philadelphia will pick up their winning ways, I think.
You know, next week, I'm going to have Coach explain why he took Washington in this because I'm very curious if he knows something we don't, which is very, very possible.
But he took Washington in this.
I don't know if it was because they were at home or he just sees something in Philadelphia that we don't see. You never know, but I just think Carson Wentz is going to be our next favorite quarterback for a little while. He's not a flash in the pan. He's got the good mechanics. He's got a good head on his shoulders. If he just learned how in the world to slide, he would be so much better off.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Philadelphia is, I mean, he's got a – who was that guy for the Chiefs that it ended his career when he slid and took a shot? I can't think of it. He's a quarterback.
Recently?
But what Trent Green, I think, is who it was.
Oh, yeah, Trent Green. Yep. He got that concussion, and he could never recover.
Yeah. I mean, he's looking at being the next Trent Green if he doesn't figure out how to slide, but – you know, up there in Philadelphia, I would say don't trust the Phillies. Maybe you should bring in the Mets, who are currently not doing anything as predicted. So bring them in. They'll show you how to slide. They're pretty good at knowing how to slide, especially in the standings. Right? And I'm even a Mets homer. So there you go, Mets. You know what I'm saying? We got lucky to be in this year. We shouldn't have been in, but we'll be back. And then, of course, the last game, there's this little game going on up in the greater Northwest that we've talked about before, and we get to test Reggie's theory to see if I'm going to go red coat again or turn coat. Obviously, you have the Falcons against Seattle, right?
I do. I believe.
Oh, I agree with you. I believe, and I very much, even though, you know, we all know none of the Atlanta teams currently, besides maybe Georgia State, but none of the Atlanta teams are really my teams, but it's still my home city. I would love to see us raise a couple more banners, preferably Super Bowls, but, you know, I'll take World Series and other things. A Super Bowl would look really nice in that new field.
Absolutely.
It's the same reason why a lot of people kept Denver at number one until they lost because they were the defending champion. To me, until I absolutely see the wheels come off, the windows bust out on the Seattle bus, I'm just going to continue. I doubted them for so long, and they proved me wrong. It's just hard until proven otherwise for me to not pick Seattle for some reason. And it's not but to go against Atlanta. A lot of people think I just down Atlanta, but even you know it's –
It's smart, man. I mean, listen, five games lost in the past however many years. It's a tough crowd. You got the 13th man. You got the weather. You got the crowd. It's a tough place to play. The defense is spectacular. Russell Wilson, they're coming off a bye week. I mean, it's going to be definitely a great game to watch. I think it's the game of the week to watch, or one of them.
Yes.
And so, I can absolutely see why you would go with Seattle. If I weren't an Atlanta homer, I probably would go with Seattle just because to edge it, right? It wouldn't be a blowout. I don't think it's going to be a blowout regardless of whomever wins. But I can see why you're going Seattle.
No, this is a late field goal game to me. It's really going to come down to if Seattle's defense can stop Atlanta a little bit and only keep them at around 20 points, then I really think they have a shot, and I really think they're going to be able to do that because they have the best secondary to me in the league. But I agree with you. I'm on board. I'm glad you saved me that bandwagon spot there on the bus, but I really believe in what Dan Quinn's doing with this team. Even if I have to put up with Kyle Shanahan to do it, it's working. So until it doesn't work, it's hard to not kind of believe in it.
Yeah. I mean, again, this game offensively for Atlanta is going to come down to pass protection. If Matt Ryan, if that offensive line can control the line of scrimmage like they did against Denver, which is going to be tough. I mean, they've got some monsters on their defensive side as well. I don't think Seattle's linebackers can match up, but their secondary can. But even then, you'll put your secondary out on the island if Matt has time to carve you up. I mean, at the end of the day, he's got running backs that catch the ball as well as their receivers do. And defensively, again, if Atlanta can't get pressure and contain Russell Wilson, it's going to be a long day. I mean, it just is. So those are going to be the keys, man. It's going to be who controls the line of scrimmage. And turnovers always come into play, and penalties. I mean, Atlanta's getting a little better on the penalty side, and as well as turnovers. I mean, Matt's only got two interceptions this year, and I think even one of them was kind of a tip pass interception, so it wasn't really a direct throw. But that being said, you know, it's going to come who makes the first mistake, right? And who can jump out ahead. If they let Atlanta get out 14, 17 points ahead, it's going to be a long game for Seattle. I mean, because they have the running backs to churn and beat that line, that defensive lineup all game. So it's going to be a good one, man. It's definitely going to be good. I'm going to enjoy it.
Hey, I hope you do. I don't know if you want to go live on Facebook, but if possible, maybe I'll try to shoot you a message or something, an hour before game time or something, kind of get a download as to what's going on up there in Seattle.
Yeah, and I may have an opportunity. There's a good friend of mine that he's a photographer for Seattle. So I might be able to get onto the field pregame. I've never gone live on Facebook, so maybe this will be my first opportunity to do so.
Hey, it's a lot of fun. Just go with it and be confident in yourself, because I've just recently only did it in the last month or so, and I love it. I've considered doing a Facebook Live every time I do one of these shows. Besides being live, that way people can see the video version. But it's just fun to, you know, I've done it before Georgia State games where I've done one from the tailgate. I did one from the press room this past weekend. I mean, they're just fun to do.
Right. I'll definitely, matter of fact, I'm going to commit to that. I'll do at least one live posting while I'm up there.
Okay.
Guys can hear the crowd noise in real time. How's that?
Right, that would be incredible to hear it get cranked up there, because they really can do it well. And we're going to fly through some of these other things, because most of them are pretty easy one-liners. We're going to see how fast we can go through some of them, actually. The Vikings signed Jake Long, who is on his probably 12th team in 5 years, but good for Jake Long. I believe he's a Falcon for about 2 weeks. Because they placed offensive lineman Andre Smith on IR. It's incredible that the Vikings are cycling through offensive linemen the way they are and still winning.
Right. And, again, he's an insurance pickup.
He's still solid. He's just not a starter.
Right. He claims he's the healthiest he's been in a while.
Yep.
So we'll see.
We already hit on the quarterback decision in Dallas that is coming up here soon. But before I get your take on it, you said put myself in Jerry Jones' shoes. It was going to take me a while to respond because I was counting how many zeros are in my bank account, which was quite a few. I lost count, actually. I don't think I can count that high. But
right.
If you're Jerry Jones, obviously it's Romo because, that's his buddy. But the business decision, if I'm Stephen Jones, the business decision is maybe at the end of the year you see if the Dolphins or some other team that's going to really, the Jets or any team that Rex Ryan coaches or used to coach, somebody that's looking for a quarterback, you see if you can flip him for a one or a two.
Yeah, at this point you got to go with the youth and you got to get rid of him while he's serviceable, right? Because that guy's just one of those guys, man, much like Chris Chandler, that you just keep waiting for the next big hit, and he goes down again. But at the end of the day, a smart businessman, as much as Jerry Jones is worth, you got to know he's going to make the smart business choice at some point and say, listen, I've got to move on, right? I've got to move on from this.
But I do think you keep Romo on the team for the rest of the year until you can get another backup in there. But for one, Romo's not a backup. Even as he gets older, he's gonna play. He's gonna start until he falls apart. And like Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk likes to say, at some point they're not gonna be able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, and that'll be the end of Romo.
Right.
But
right.
That really is what it is. It's nothing personal, but you got to pull the same thing that Belichick and Kraft do in New England. You have to know when to move on a year early than a year late.
Right. Absolutely. And that's that. It's let him come back. Let him stay healthy. If you don't see, I'll go as far as to say this. If you do not see Romo come back in the game when he comes back and he's declared healthy,
right,
then you know that the next move is him out of Dallas. We're keeping him healthy long enough that we can move him. And I don't think there's anybody that can be upset with him about making him a decision like that. It's just, guy just can't stay healthy.
Right. It's business, unfortunately. And, we explain that to a lot of people that get mad when your favorite player is not on your favorite team anymore. But at the end of the day, it's about making money, and the way to make money is making the right decision. And unfortunately, I'm a big Romo guy. Even before I re-realized that I'm a big Dallas fan, Romo's just a really cool guy, and a really good quarterback. But he's unreliable because he gets hurt so much.
Right. And it's unfortunate because he could have been one of the great ones, right?
Oh man, literally. I still stand by the statement that to win a ring, I think he's going to have to go to a different team. But, it's going to have to be a Denver-like situation where they don't ask him to do a whole lot and the defense wins the whole game.
Absolutely. Agreed.
But good luck to you, Romo. And in case something does fall apart, you can always join us here on Falcon Zone.
Absolutely.
I will happily – that's like the only demographic we don't have, or the only thing. We got the media guy and me. We have the super educated fan in you, and we have the former coach, scout, agent in coach. So, we don't have the former player. So, I guess that'd be the perfect.
Right. Absolutely. I like it.
So
go get him.
So I'm gonna throw that out there to the Romo camp that your options are open, Tony. Moving on to not so much of a chipper topic, Lane Johnson's suspension was upheld for 10 games. He can't come back till December 19th, and he's going to lose $25 million-plus in guaranteed money. And this is pretty much a non-story. I just wanted to say it because he's going to lose so much money. But Lane Johnson's a buffoon anyway. It's all his fault.
Right.
There is no bad test. There was no conspiracy. Lane Johnson's just a buffoon who did this to himself. But the fact that he's going to lose $25 million, hope you had your bills paid.
Absolutely. I just don't understand it. And, addiction is just something that we just can't figure out if you're not a part of it. And I know it's very real. But, wow. who knew? He knew it was going to be uphill. And I think that's kind of why he just kind of backed off, right? It is what it is. Learn from it and move on, right?
Right. Right. Like the other guy that won't get a whole lot of press on here that's going to MMA fight now, apparently.
Yeah, idiot. Just an idiot.
Good riddance, right? Right. You know, kudos to him, though. I mean, this is kind of a Tebow-like play, except for Tebow's actually panning out. Is, you know, good for him that he's found a way to get paid to rough people up and punch them in the face.
Wow. Yeah, it just won't be women this time, fortunately.
Right, right. I guess he'd have to be in the WWE. No, actually, they have a policy, no man-on-woman violence. So, yeah, he can't legally do that there either.
Wow. Yeah, good riddance. I mean,
absolutely.
That's just wasted talent.
Absolutely. I'm sure we could have passed the hat and took up a collection and tried to get him out years ago.
Right.
But let's see. Other things. The Browns lose another quarterback. They've reached a injury settlement with Touchdown Jesus. He is officially gone. Cody Kessler should be back this week, and so is Josh McCown, who will probably back him up. But at one point in 5 weeks, they had four different quarterbacks who all at some point got injured and missed part of the game.
I think it's phenomenal that one team can lose that many quarterbacks. But, I mean, even with Kaepernick now restructuring his contract now where he can be a free agent, I think you see him possibly take a look at that job. We talked about Romo already, even though I don't think Hugh Jackson or any of those guys would take a look at him, considering the fact that everybody they touch gets hurt.
He'd never make it off the bus.
Right, right. So, you know, you just never know which way they're going to go. But Kaepernick might not be a bad they might want to kick the tires on him next year. I think they, you know, and I still believe in the one guy that's sitting on the bench down in Kansas City is poised to be a great starter, and that's Mr. Aaron Murray. And you know I have to believe in him. I'm a Georgia Tech guy, and I don't really root for a lot of Georgia players, but I think that kid is kind of got the tools needed to really be something big. So maybe they want to take a look at trying to get him too.
Actually, remember they released him, and he was on the practice squad with Arizona last time we checked.
Right, right.
I'm gonna see if I can find him right now, real quickly, and see if he is still there. He is actually with the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Is he really?
Oh, wow.
That is interesting.
On an active roster?
That I am looking up as we speak, because literally I have no idea what our actual stat guy is doing currently. According to this, is it going to pull up? It is. He must be on the practice squad because I'm not seeing him. It's still Chase Daniel as number two. So, I did not know that, though.
No, I did not either. And there must be something about him, though, that keeps people from pulling him on and giving this guy a shot. Because there are worse quarterbacks out there, at least in my opinion.
Oh, yes. There are some that are starting in this league.
Right.
We won't name names.
No, we won't.
But,
they may end up being guests of the show one day.
Right, right. Or they may be part of the show, you know, actually on the show one day. And they still got McLeod, Bethel, Thompson. I'm not going to say which app I'm using because it's not a whole lot of help right now. But according to his Wikipedia page, and I trust Wikipedia over a lot of things, it says he is, as of earlier this year, when Arizona released him, he joined the Philadelphia Eagles. So more power to him.
Mm. Wow.
I still say he could be the next guy after Matty Ice, but I don't think they agree with me.
I'll help you push that fight. I like that pick.
Right, I'd go pick him up from the airport.
Agreed. I'll be with you.
Yeah, it says as of September 13th, so an absolute month ago, Murray was signed to the Philadelphia Eagles practice squad. Wow. This is a compelling radio with us trying to look up stats on random apps. But Hey, that's how we roll. We do things on our own because, like I said, I have no idea what our stat guy is doing right now. But other quick stories we're going to get to. Tom Brady is back. I don't know if anybody knew that. I know the Cleveland Browns are pretty aware of that. And he had a Brady-like day and actually showed people that Gronkowski is still playing for them as well.
Right, 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 as well as Martellus Bennett.
Yeah. Yeah, if the winner of the week is Martellus Bennett, who caught more touchdowns in one day than I think he did in his last half season or so in Chicago.
Right, right. And that was what the concern was that Brady didn't have the chemistry with him, but I guess he proved us wrong yet again.
Right, yeah. I have never doubted Brady, even when other people did, but, you know, I'm a little on the biasness side, but still, it's kind of like the Seattle thing. Until proven otherwise, I think number 12 is still the best.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Speaking of people that came back, so to say, Brian Hoyer had a spectacular game for the Chicago Bears. He actually made a lot of people forget that Jay Cutler is the actual starter and that Jay Cutler will probably be run out of town as soon as they can get him out. I said last week I thought Miami would be a great landing place because Ryan Tannehill fits the bill of that last conversation we just had that Aaron Murray is better than he is. But, you know, seems like they're going to roll without Cutler and they're going to go with Brian Hoyer, who, when given the chance, can actually play.
Absolutely. I mean, he proved that in Houston. He's proven it wherever he's been, I think. I think he deserves a shot. I don't think Cutler belongs in the league personally.
I agree.
So you know, I would hate to see anybody waste any time with this guy. He's an idiot. Get him out of the league.
Absolutely.
I mean, let him go be a commentator somewhere if he's even good enough to do that.
Even the arena leagues wouldn't hire him, I don't think.
Right, right.
Because I know people in the arena leagues, and trust me, Cutler would not have a job there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Coach can vouch for that.
Yep, absolutely. Let's see. Actually, something that factors into tonight's game, which more than likely I may or may not watch. I wouldn't blame you if you don't. If you're in this general area, it doesn't really pertain to us anymore unless you're scouting next week's opponent. But the Denver head coach, Gary Kubiak, was hospitalized with flu-like symptoms and will actually take the week off, but it come down to they thought maybe it might have been another mini stroke or something like that. Turns out it wasn't, like he had before a couple years ago in Houston. But he is going to take the week off. The Canellis or something like that is the special teams coordinator who was named the head coach.
Oh yeah, you don't remember Joe DeCamillis? Joe DeCamillis was our special teams coach back during the Jim Moore era here,
that's where I know his name.
Yeah, he actually got his start when Dan Reeves was here. So, yeah, he's been around the league for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's some circles that felt like he should have been a head coach at some point. He's a great motivator, and he's a heck of a nice guy. I've gotten the fortunate opportunity to meet him a couple of times.
Cool.
So, yeah, look, I just noticed that Kubiak didn't even travel with the team, and certainly health is more important than anything we've got going on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's absolutely the right decision. That's why John Elway said he's not coming with us. He's going to, you know, because they had this a couple years ago where another coach stepped in when John Fox had the heart valve replacement or whatever. So it's
right.
Par for the course for them. They've done this before, but obviously want Kubiak to feel better soon and everything. He really is a good guy. I'm glad, you know, given the opportunity, he's a good leader and a good coach. But, hey, I totally forgot that special teams got. Now, do you know why they picked him over either of the coordinators?
I do not. I mean, I don't know the nature of how that coaching staff is set up. I know he's a heck of a motivator. So, that would be my guess.
Well, they said, here's the logic behind this, and this would be where Coach would probably laugh at us for not thinking about this or something. No, he probably wouldn't laugh at us, but they said that they want the coordinators to continue calling the plays and doing like they do, and that typically a head coach's main decisions are, you know, when to go for it on fourth down, when to do a trick play, when to kick field goals, stuff like that. That's all special teams related decisions. So why not have a tenured guy like him who has the experience, who usually, you know, would maybe get in his ear and go, hey, if you get me another 5 yards, my guy can kick this. Or, you know what, let's try that trick play here. A lot of the crazy plays come from the special teams guy. So for him to take over, both coordinators don't have to change what they do. He just steps in and makes a couple more decisions now.
Right. And again, he has a pretty high percentage rate for the trick plays that he was attempting, at least over his career.
Right.
He's been actually pretty good and has a high success rate. So, yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And let's see, we got two more. One we're going to get into a little bit, but Baltimore fired their offensive coordinator, Mark Trestman, which I never saw that working out. I don't really like his offense. It's too Canadian. It works in the CFL.
Right.
It doesn't work in the NFL. They moved Marty Morningwig into it, and I think it's going to be just like Buffalo. You fire your offensive coordinator, and I think you're going to go back on a big streak. So I think Baltimore's going to do a lot better. Joe Flacco said he was embarrassed last week, so it won't happen with Marty.
Right, right. And I think that's a great pick. You know, I mean, that's a great move on those guys. It may add some stability back to Baltimore's game right now.
Yeah, because they actually went on a pretty good run. They're like 4-1 now or something like that. But
right,
or
right.
Maybe they're 3-2 or something like that.
Right, right. But, I mean, again, they were looking a little like fool's gold there. That's my term for the day. So
yep.
So I think this might be, you know, this might be one to stabilize the ship a little bit.
Yeah, it may be. And then look out for them because they're another one of those teams that will sneak up on people.
Right. Absolutely.
But that leads us to our last little tidbit here. And like I said, I'm going to get partly into it, even though I have gotten some passionate discussions about this. Indianapolis GM Ryan Grigson says that Andrew Luck's contract hinders his chance to build a good defense. Now, I'm just going to throw this part out there, and I can get your response right after. But the simple yes-no on it is, isn't it the GM who signs and offers these contracts to the players?
It is, but in the event that the head coach possibly has a little bit more say-so, maybe that's where he's going with that, right? You know, yeah, to answer your question, yes, that's typically
right.
The case. But it's probably pointing to what's been the problem with these guys all along, right? Or what's happening, starting to be the problem with Indianapolis, is that there's no cohesion internally, right?
Right.
It's starting to point to the finger pointing and all of that stuff just kind of adds to it. I mean, listen, you're not going to find very many quarterbacks better than Luck. The problem
right.
isn't just with the defense. The problem is you've got a turnstile for an offensive line. You don't have a solid running game. You've got, you know, some shells for receivers other than T.Y. Hilton. I mean, you've got so many more problems other than just building your
mm-hmm.
defense. So maybe it was, you know, it's more to it than just that, right? So
yeah.
I think that's a GM trying to save his job.
Which brings me to the whole point that I got to start internally. Jim Irsay has made some pretty I'll just downright say it. He's made some pretty awful decisions before, even in life. He's paid for them. He's paid his due and everything like that. He's a smart business guy, though. He's very Jerry Jones-like as far as the business thing. To me, the best business decision he could make is to find a new head coach and find a new GM, because Ryan Grigson has not built anything. If you say that he built anything, it was a sandcastle when the tide was coming in, because it's just an awful, literally. You know, let's say Andrew Luck is a 9 out of 10, given the right scenario. Let's say T.Y. Hilton is a 7 out of 10, a great emerging receiver. You got Adam Vinatieri, one of the best kickers in the game. And then you got 50 guys that they pretty much could sign off the street, and we would recognize them just as fast.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, the only people with a worse roster than Indianapolis right now is Cleveland, because Cleveland doesn't have Andrew Luck or Adam Vinatieri.
Right. Right.
And even then, you know,
right.
Cody Kessler looks pretty good. You know, you look at a couple guys Cleveland has and you go, actually, if these two teams played, there's a good chance Cleveland might win.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
It just starts.
I think it's
it
a GM trying to save their job. It
yeah,
does.
Absolutely.
It's a GM trying to save his job.
You know, Arthur Blank knows he's not a football guy, so he hires football guys to understand how things go. We can go back and forth because, I don't know, Thomas Dimitrov is a good guy. He's done some good things. He's not my favorite person in the world, but he's good enough to where him and the few head coaches he's worked with have actually built a good team. Hiring Dan Quinn, fantastic. Having Scott Pioli in the building, fantastic. They've built the culture there through the front office that filtered down. You look at some of these other teams that struggled, the Clevelands, the Indianapolis, the Houston up until recently. The reason Washington has problems, a lot of times it starts with the owner or the GM. So at this point, if you're Jim Irsay, you should have fired your coach last year for some goofy reason. I don't know if he bought you a steak dinner or whatever, but it's time to move on from who is their head coach? I just forgot him. Chuck Pagano.
Not Jim. It's Chuck Pagano, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time to move on from Chuck Pagano, and it's time to move on from Ryan Grigson. You missed out on the GM from Seattle, so you're going to have to look around some front offices. But it's just, I mean, look at the difference that a Reggie McKenzie did when he left the East Coast and goes to the West Coast, and now he's built Oakland in 3 years through the draft, and now they're an emerging team. You know, you look at what they've done in Jacksonville, if they'll ever win games again. But, you know, it can be done. You have to have the right guys in place. And to me, the Colts are one of those franchises that just – it's like they don't have a clue.
Right, right. It's unfortunate when you know here we are with a multi-million dollar NFL franchise, and they were at, you know, kind of sneaking up to the top of the charts a little bit, and then they kind of fell off, and but it points to, I think, you know, if you recall, there was a chance to get rid of Chuck Pagano. Just last year or the year before.
Right.
So I think that maybe this kind of falls in line with that. I think they just haven't resolved their internal issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's all the stuff we have for this week. But we want to say go Falcons, obviously. Reggie, have a good trip in Seattle. I look forward to the Facebook Live. Like I said, it's one of those things. It's like when you first get in the pool and you know it's cold, it's better just go on and jump in than try to test it because it takes too long. Just go on and jump in with it. Have fun with it. Facebook Live is very fun. I think Twitter does it as well, or you can use Periscope. They're all good. But
okay.
Look forward to seeing that video. And, you know, like I said, have fun, and hopefully you get to see a victory, because I would like Atlanta to win, but as far as picking for this show, I'm going Seattle.
Oh, well, I'm not upset with you. I get it.
Which, as good as I know you, it would probably take a lot more than that to upset you. So I'm glad I haven't reached that level yet.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not my money or my family. I'm good.
Right. Those are places that, yeah. And we don't talk politics because we don't do that here.
Right.
But I guess that's all we have. So, once again, appreciate you, Reggie, the King ATL, and back. Hopefully we get all three of us back next week, because I think there's some fun stuff coming up that the three-headed attack should really debate. But for the King ATL and Reggie Walker, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Hopefully the theme song is a lot better than before. Go Falcons.
Yes, sir. Falcons on top, Falcons gonna win, never giving up.
clear without the bam. Yeah, okay. Bam! What?